He's devil can't do what he thinks he can. First and foremost reason is because he loves you. That's first. Did you know? That's the best reason you can carry a need to him with. Because he loves you. I remember somebody saying, I know why my child survived that horrible disease. As that preacher prophesied that there was a call on him. Listen to me. He respects no person. How about all the other babies that don't have a call to ministry? Did he just let them die? No. He doesn't need a reason. He doesn't need it. You don't have to bring a list to him. He loves you. If he had no future, he'd heal him anyway. You get to stacking reasons up, then you're going to wonder which one you violated. Why do you serve him? Because you're afraid of him? I have a reverent fear. That's a respect. What's the main reason you serve him for? Are you afraid of eternity? Afraid that you might disobey? Those things that carry you so long, but they're real surface. I serve him because I love him. And that's it. That's it. In Ephesians 5 again, when he talked about ministering to yourselves. Who? Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then all of a sudden he says, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before he goes into that part, he said, don't be unwise concerning what the will of the Lord is. So we don't give thanks for things. Oh, thank God for that car wreck. You can forget that. So he said, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who am I ministering to? Ministering to who? Yourself. In what? Worship? Psalms, hymns? Wait a minute. When I worship God, who am I ministering to? Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father. And let's talk about this for a minute. When the devil tries to convince you you're sick and going to die, the word says you're not. The devil says you are. Disease says you are. When you begin to worship God and give thanks for what His Word says, you know, to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what will begin to happen. See, He said you could say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Doubt not your heart. You'd have whatsoever you say. The stipulation was, if you doubted not in your heart. Well, did you know this? Things you can do to minister to yourself till the doubt is gone. I wouldn't let that stop me. Somebody says, what would you do? You should hear some of Gary's testimonies, how many days and things he spoke the word. You should hear some of them about his big standoff with finances and walked the floor and spoke that word, but he would not. Compromise, he wouldn't. Sell a tape, he wouldn't do anything God told him not to do. But he did walk the floor and speak the word of God. We're talking hours. Hours. So you get prayed for and they say, you're healed. And you walk away and there's no difference, you can tell. Because you've never been in a line like that. You can't tell any difference. What are you supposed to do? Are you going to believe you got it or not? If you believe that when you ask God that He did it, or should we say He did it, that you have yet to receive the manifestation of it. But we know that He did it. It's been done for a couple of thousand years. So we know He did it. So what does confession do? See, what does it do? Righteousness, which is of faith, speak on this wise. Say not in your heart. Who'll send into heaven, bring Jesus down, put Him to Gethsemane? Who'll send down into the deep and raise Jesus from the dead again? Well, what saith it? The word of God's nigh thee, it's even in your mouth. Well, that standard was for salvation, but you're also the bearer of glad tidings of good things. And good things is what He has done for us. You have to get this straight. He's not going to go to heaven and bring Him down again and bury your sickness. He's not going to go raise Him from the deep again. He's only going to do this one time. And sometime along the way, you're going to have to stop and find out how to believe that one time event when He bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, because He's not going to come and do it again. Well, how do I go from not to two? To believe in it. Ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father. All things what? That He's provided for us. Which one in particular for you? The one that says you're healed when you're devil and your flesh is saying you're not. Well, what would you do? I'd do what I've done. What did I have? The growth come out here. Had an infection flow through my system for a year. Had blood in my urine. You know, trivial things. What do you have now? Nothing. What would you do? Okay. Father, I want to thank You that these afflictions, these things that's wrong with me, I'm bringing them to You now. And I'm receiving my healing in the name of Jesus. So I want to thank You with all my heart right now that You have totally healed me from these things. In Jesus' name. Then what are You going to do? Oh, I thank You, I glorify You, I praise You, that I'm healed. I'm calling myself healed. I'm calling myself healed. Glory be to God forever. I'm calling myself healed. Or whatever it is. I'm calling myself free. Or whatever it is. Oh no, my finances aren't staying this way. I'm calling myself provision. I'm calling myself free. I'm calling myself free. Glory be to God. I know I'm free. I know the devil says, feel of yourself. Shut up. I'm free. I know I'm free. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You do it day after day after day. Gary's a good example. He didn't relent. Day after day. What begins to happen? Who are you ministering to? Who? What begins to happen? What happens inside where things go on? I'm not able to believe it right now. again, my friend. If you read one paragraph, close the book, unless you've got a photographic memory, you can't repeat it back. What did it say? Oh, man, you can tell a little bit of what it said, but you can't repeat it back word for word. But yet, you read it 30, 40 times, and memorization takes place. If your mind had that capacity, why couldn't you do it the first time? What changed along the way? Well, why couldn't you believe it the first time? You understand? Something starts taking place. You can't say it 1,000 times a day. You can't do it without something happening in the part of you that believes. Remember, in the first place, faith moves God because it's belief in what He said. But He's already done this. He's not the one stuck. You're not talking Him into doing it. You're changing you. Who are you ministering to? Yourself. Hallelujah. Testimonies I know, like old Earl Hitson, the logger. You know what a widow maker is? It's a tree that grows up under pressure, and when you cut it, it barber chairs. It kill you. Cutting timber on those slopes. And anyway, Earl was cutting a big old tree down. It's a widow maker. So it split out and barber chaired. It spun around and knocked him I don't know how many feet. And he's laying on the ground and his buddies were out there, and they were a long walk back from anywhere. So they go over to him and he's laying there and his back, he can't move. But he fought his way to his feet, and these guys are watching him. He takes a step and faints out and falls down. When he comes to him, he starts struggling to pull himself up again. And they say, "Come on, Earl, we got to get some help in here." So he says, "No," and he says, he'd confess the word of God, and he'd try to get up again and fall down. They made one or two steps, and finally made a few more, and drug himself on in home. Well, you know, they asked him, "Are you healed?" And he said, "Yes," but he couldn't get out of bed to go back to work. So here he is struggling. And then they're asking him, "Well, if you're not injured, if you're not, then the company says you better go back to work or file a claim that you're sick or something." And so Earl got his chainsaw. It took him a long time to try to get up to the place where they were cutting. He'd take a few steps and put it down, and he couldn't tell you what part was broke, what happened. He didn't have it looked at. It took him a long time, and he finally made it up to where they were cutting. So he'd start his chainsaw and he'd put it on the tree, and it would just slide down the bark and it'd fall again. Finally they cut the trees out and moved on. Earl, you know, time after he'd pick it back up, skin bark. The last time he picked it up, he goes, "Froom, froom, froom." It starts to skin down, and all of a sudden, every ounce of the pain left. No, Earl ripped through that log, grabbed that chainsaw, took off running, and caught up with him. They said, "My God, man, I guess you got your miracle." I told this man's testimony, and he was sitting in our church.
That was me.
Same kind of thing. He couldn't walk. He was disabled to where he couldn't keep a job. He couldn't walk very far or well. Or a lot of pain, that kind of thing. So he took his stand, began to confess the word just hour after hour after hour. I've known of people that has wore paths in the carpet around the table, walking around it all night speaking the word. If you won't stop, one of those times you're going to cross a line and believe it. Just like that. He'd spend his time calling himself healed. I want to thank you, Father God. I'm healed. I am healed. I am healed. So his buddy says, let's go duck hunting. And I says, okay. Of course, you know those ducks. If one of those ducks used foul language around me, I'd tape their mouth up with duct tape. He was trying to keep up with his friends, and finally, mercy on them, he said, I can't keep up. You guys go on. I'll catch up later. Elder Bob, I'm not quite clear on this part, but I do know this. He's either else laying down on the ground, or he's trying to stagger to his feet. And all of a sudden, that one time, he says, I am healed. And something just shot down. Just shot down out of heaven and just knocked the tar out of him. And he got up and grabbed his gun and took off running and caught up with those guys. And they said, oh, your God must be God. Hallelujah. How many of them can you go on? Hey, I preached with Norval Hayes for 15 years. He had a strong message concerning making your stand. And I've seen people come and go. And a school teacher got a death penalty from liver cancer. And she was in one of those meetings we was in. And Norval taught her what to do. We're teaching on it. So she went back and she told her husband, she says, look, I'm a school teacher, but if I'm not here to teach school, what good would that do? She said, I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to spend my days with the Lord. She did. She's the one that wore a path in the carpet around the coffee table. Walking hour after hour, calling herself healed. I think about 2 or 3 months. One day she gets up and goes, oh. Goes to the doctor. And it's done. But this by far is the most amazing. Their son was born, and he was born handicapped. Couldn't get out of bed. That's where he grew up. So the wife got a hold of that message. And day after day, just lay in that bed, just unable to communicate. Barely. Grew up there. So she got a hold of the word, and she started, her husband and her would take her into the, him into the front room, and they started. He would unload him on the floor for her, and she'd pick up his legs, and she'd lean into it like this and pull and command him. I said, "You get up and walk, boy, in the name of Jesus." And she'd drag him across that floor every day, speaking the word of God over him. Day after day after day. Tell me, if I would have been born, that would have been, if I'd have been born with the problem, and I'd sure like to have been born to that family. Where are you going to take somebody in the church system today and come back with them whole? Can you think of any place? She did that several years. You couldn't kill her spirit. Well, one day they got everything done, and husband come home and put him to bed. They went in, said their prayers, laid down in the bed. All of a sudden, something from the front room. Now they had prayed for the gift. God gave him a gift, along with it. They laid down and they heard something like the fifth cantata by Bach coming out of the front room. "Did you leave a radio on?" "No." "Did you?" "No." They got up, went in the other room, and their son was sitting at the piano. They said, "What happened?" He said, "You put me to bed." He said, "After you left, Jesus came in. He laid down by me. Then we both got up." Church is designed to teach you how to fight the fight, not to do it for you. So what happens? You can't keep speaking the word. What in you, when you go to another land, like the oil magnate went to Great Britain, and before that he spoke pure country. "How y'all doing, you oil magnate? You rich as I am yet, you Texan?" I don't care if they did first fly here. We're oil rich. Right, brothers? What am I? It's not going to speak at the British accent. "Hold the force," and all that sort of rot. The guy sitting over there says, "From Texas, we eat cups that size." Have to hold your little finger up because it won't fit on a little teacup. Suddenly, they're staring at him. He's staring at them. Nobody said nothing. "Well, how are you doing, my old friend?"
Sally, hold the fox and all that sort of rot. You said you wasn't going to do this.
I am not.
Yes, you are. What kind of power is that linguistically? It can cause those little wigglies in your brain to create an atmosphere, accent when you don't even know it's happening. Do you understand you can't keep calling yourself healed without eventually ending up believing it? Hallelujah. Yes. Did you have a message prepared? Yeah, but it wasn't this one. Tell me something. Do you believe that you have what you have from Him? You're right. You're just waiting to see if it's a trick question or something. A couple of thousand years for sure, it'll be after the millennial. The only thing that's going to be left in here, I mean, this, what that's here right now, your spirit, it'll still be around. You'll undoubtedly by then have a new body and a new heaven and a new earth. But that's the only thing in here that's going to survive. So who and what's important in here? You. Here you are, this eternal creature spouting truth every day concerning a lie. No, He healed me. Who's He going to side with? So I tell you what. Why don't we all jump up on our feet for a minute? Some things belong to God, and all the glory is one of those things. Why don't you lift those hands up and and worship Him for a minute and know that you got a path that's sovereign, as final and finished as the cross itself. Why provide for you a miracle and a path that won't get you there? Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Why would He do that? And the answer is He didn't. Does a caterpillar go into a cocoon and go, I wonder what kind of creature I'm going to turn into? No, it's going to turn into a butterfly. Happens every time. You get on the path. You're not going to go to something else. It'll be the same every time. The path to the miracle is as sovereign and finished as the miracle itself. Get on the right one, and it'll bring you there as no respecter of persons. Every time. I remember I'd turn, and on that turn, the devil would stand at the turn when I'd say, I'm calling myself. He'd say, You think you'll be heard for your much speaking?
I said, oh, shut up, I'm worshiping Him. I'm not begging God to do something. I'm making a statement of something that's already done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. One reason he don't particularly like begging, because begging is that's the insinuation that he's not doing it. It's already done. That's okay. So come on. Some things belong to him. And all the glory is one of those things. Just remember this about God, and then I'll calm down. There's the three persons that make up the one true and living God. We say the mighty Jehovah, the Word, which we know now and love as Jesus, and mighty Jehovah as our Father. But the Holy Spirit has remained the same. An anthropomorphism, characteristics God's assigned to Himself, by which you can understand Him, the Father, the Son. In eternities past, they have tri-existed co-equal with each other. Not one of them holding a diminished position. They took their roles in creation, and we understand them as who they are now to us, because God is our Father. There's nine attributes that make up the one essence of the Godhead. This is their essence: absolute sovereignty, righteousness, judgment, immutability, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. That's the one essence that makes up the three persons of the one and true living God. That's what they are. And they do what they are. The Holy Spirit, He's nothing diminished from the other two members of the Godhead. He has come to you to teach you. And that anointing that abides in you, which is truth, and cannot lie concerning those who seduce you. I'll teach you all things. In other words, 90% of seduction is done from the pulpit. Because you're praying, and you got a mechanism inside. It's truth. It's truth, and it cannot lie. It'll teach you all things. It won't let you go down that path. You loose the teaching power. You welcome Him. And the way you yield yourself over to Him who has come to guide you into all truth, not push you. You don't want to be pushed. He won't. He's come to guide. He can only guide as you move. Jesus said He'll not speak of Himself, but He'll receive of mine and shew it unto you. Then Jesus said this. He said, look, my glory I give unto you, that you may know the Father loves you with the same love that He loves me. I got His glory, so do you. And we have it so we can know that He does. He does love us. With that same love, He loves Him. Last time we demonstrated a little bit what that glory was, if you remember. But if you want me to, I can refresh you on it for a minute before you turn in for a night of meditation. If Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me His glory,
I'll be Bach. I saw that through a Radio Shack window on TV one time. The other day I fell down and found one of those 3D glasses right in front of a Radio Shack window, and I put them on for a minute and looked in, and my gosh, people were real in there. Anyway. Oh, no. I'll be back. Massive muscles. Had muscles like that. Well, you know. Oh, I have to comb my hair. Oh, I dropped my pencil. Oh, no, it's my comb. Oh, I dropped it accidentally. I'll get it. If Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me his glory, I'd get all these muscles and all the fame that went with it. Well, what would I get if a computer nerd gave me his glory? Okay. Oh, my gosh. Knowledge, knowledge, oh, knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Oh, look at this. Oh. There's nothing I can't hack into. I know everything. I'm a genius. And then we have a parable where a nerd girl meets nerd boy with their little pink sock and one of them with a little white rim around it. It was a collision of pencil packs and glasses that flew all over the room. And what would I get if I got a computer nerd's glory? Oh, I'd get a brain as big as Einstein's. I could hack into anything, know anything. I'd have his glory. What did I get when I got Jesus' glory? What did I get? I'll tell you what I got. My glory I give unto you, that you may know that the Father loves you with the same love He loves me. He gave me His glory, which is the standing that He has with the Father, that I can know He loves me with the same love that He loves Jesus. Time to put this nerd to bed.